City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by the American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 384. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
And we are still in Vancouver.
The Couve.
Lovely Vancouver. What an amazing time we're having here. And worn out after our first day of just so many delights and great outdoors. And today, since yesterday, we kind of took you where the girls are on the drive. And lots of fun there on Commercial Drive and also Granville Island and all of that good, fun, frothy stuff that the ladies like. Today we're heading to, I guess you would call it the boys' town of Vancouver, and I'm very excited to see what it's all about. We're heading to Davie Village today, and we're going to have quite a tour guide with my friend Angus that I met a few weeks ago here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Who is, I think he's the mayor. I think he's the mayor of Davie Village. Davie Village would be like Boys Town or Lakeview for us here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. A place where all the boys go, the boy bars. And we're going to have some special surprises. I think we're going to get to have a cocktail with a lovely lady that I also met here in Chicago. Don't be threatened, Kelly.
I won't.
It's okay. And we're just going to do a little tour around Davie Village with Angus. So it's going to be a really great show. This one's all for you boys. And so I guess we need to get out of the Westin Grand and head on down to Davie Village.
In our chaps. Here we go.
In our chaps. Ass out. So Kelly and I have hopped a cab, another short cab ride to Davie Village, which, as we said, is kind of our boys' town for those of you in Chicago. And if you're in another city, just think that this is where the boys are.
This would be your North Halsted.
You're our North Halsted. And yes. I'm so excited to reconnect with a man that I met during Market Days from gayvan.com. And his name is Angus Pratt. And I'm so happy to be here with you now in your city.
Well, thank you, Amy. It's great to see you here after meeting you in Chicago at the media event at the Witt Hotel downtown.
At the Witt Hotel.
And so we're really thrilled to have you here in Vancouver.
Man, that's how quick it can happen with us gays when we get together.
It's only been a few weeks, hasn't it? It's amazing.
Exactly.
We just said goodbye in Chicago, and here we are on Davie Street in Vancouver.
It's true. I love it. Now, we have met here at the Sandman Hotels, Inns, and Suites, and I have to say there was an entire college rugby team of boys fresh off the field who were filling the lobby. I kind of couldn't find Angus for the throng of men. So I don't know if that bodes well, but I'm sure that has been some wonderful eye candy for this street
this
week.
Yes, lots of teams come and go, and they stay at the Sandman often, too. And We were the host city for the World Police Games last year, so you can imagine that. This a thousand times
that's
over.
It's very hot.
Yes. So what?
Tell me about Davie Village, just in general. This strip.
Well, Davie Village is, like I said earlier, considered like our gayborhood. More so for the men than the women, but everybody does come here because our community centers are here, and there's lots of things for the women in this area as well.
So Vancouver has a community center for the GLBT
community. We'll pass that a little
Excellent.
Bit later on.
Great.
And so I thought we'd start here. The Sandman's sort of right in the center of the village.
Great.
And so it was an easy place to meet.
Yeah, we call it the corner of gay and rugby.
There we go. So. Yes, this is very much our version of North Halsted Street.
And it absolutely has the rainbow flags up and down
yes.
the street. So we've been noticing how Vancouver is just so... It is so proud of its inclusivity, its diversity. It's kind of unconditional, be whoever you are, and we're happy you're here.
Yes,
kind of
exactly. That's very much the attitude. The gay community is very much part of the city's cultural mosaic.
Yeah.
Very active, very visible. Our gay pride parade and pride festival now are very much family events.
Yes.
I mean, everybody comes down, the kids are all dressed up too, and
yeah.
it's just an amazing time.
Does the gay pride parade for Vancouver go down this street?
It doesn't go down this street, but it goes around the neighborhood here along the beach.
Okay.
And we're on sort of a peninsula here, and it's called the West End of downtown. And there's a beautiful beach route that the parade goes along. It's just a few blocks down the hill from here, and then it ends up at Sunset Beach, which is on the left down the hill here.
Oh,
and then
nice.
People come up here afterwards, after the festival, in the park down there.
Now, is that the English Bay?
The English Bay, and that's straight ahead of us here,
okay.
down the hill, and that's where you'd be in English Bay.
So that would be kind of like our Hollywood Beach or Edgewater Beach is kind of where the boys go,
exactly.
and on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon. Here you'd come to Sunset Beach.
Well, it's Sunset Beach. I think there are 18 beaches in the city.
Wow.
And we're surrounded by water, so it's very easy from the gay village to walk 3 or 4 blocks and you're at a beach.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, no transportation necessary, you just walk.
Yeah.
So it's very convenient. The ones that are most popular from the village would be Sunset Beach and English Bay.
Okay.
Because they're the closest.
Yeah.
Do you want me to talk a little bit about certain places as we go
Absolutely,
by?
Absolutely, yeah.
This is a Hamburger Mary's.
Right, which we have in Chicago
as
well.
And this has been here since the 70s.
Well, I know that they're franchised now. They're independently owned individually, so they're
yes.
all going to look a little different, feel a little different. But this is really a cornerstone,
it's very, very much
Vancouver's.
So it's been here since the early days of the gayborhood, so to speak.
Yeah.
When did the neighborhood start here? Sorry
well,
to pipe in.
It's been going on unofficially for about over 30 years, but officially been coined the Davie Village in 1999, I believe.
Okay.
Huh.
So, and that's when they put the rainbow flags up, was in 1999. And
once again, a very interesting comparison to Chicago, because that's right around the time when the pylons went up in Chicago, and... you know, and there is a simpatico I feel in these two cities.
Yes,
if you wanted
yes.
to, you know, pop to Vancouver from Chicago and feel kind of comfortable in the same kind of vibe of, you know, where your area is, but it's all different and all new people to meet and hook up with.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, to start a long-distance relationship with, whatever twirls
Absolutely.
Your skirt.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what when we were talking, Tourism Vancouver and I, and I said, you know, it's such a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, you know, it's close and
mm-hmm.
3.5-hour flight. And,
yeah.
and they're, you know, they're two large metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
Similar interests. And
yeah.
Why aren't we doing more together?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well,
so here we are.
It's the beginning of a beautiful marriage. Is
yes,
what we
it
have.
Is.
Now, are all of the gay bars on the streets as well?
Yes, the majority of them are. But there are some clubs that we just lost a club this week. It closed down on Saturday night, the Odyssey Nightclub.
Oh yeah,
after 25 years.
Wow.
And but they're actually tearing it down to build community housing, and there'll be over 1,000 units for people on income and HIV and.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's going to be replaced with something valuable.
Well, thank goodness, because you know it's one of the ongoing conversations in the GLBT community is. You know, we are now having a massive part of our out community who have now lived to retirement age.
Exactly.
And how are we going to take care of our own community We are kind of the first now, this generation, who's really thinking about it, because so much of the generation in the
coming
80s
and
90s, we lost to HIV/AIDS, and so now people living with HIV or AIDS are living for a really long time.
Exactly.
And even that, in it creates new questions, new ways of healthcare to cater to them.
Absolutely.
In their golden year, so to speak.
Yeah, so that's very much part of what's happening in that project, and there are several other developments for seniors happening and things
like
that.
So it's not so bad. We can maybe lose a gay bar. There's other gay bars to start something new,
right? Well, there are, and they're going to open in a new location probably within 6 months or so.
Yeah.
But it was sort of a sad moment because they'd been there for over 25 years, and they were one of the bars that were right at the forefront when there was no government support or anything for HIV or AIDS. It was all community-based fundraising, and it was at places like that.
Yeah.
So
well, the bars is where it all started, right?
Absolutely.
It's where we had our grassroots networking. As we were speaking, we just had cowboys, cowboy boots, Wrangler jeans, one with a cowboy hat on, both with handlebar mustaches, hand in hand, walking down Vancouver.
Absolutely.
You have got
right
to love it.
By the pink bus stops.
By the pink bus stops. The fuchsia, might
fuchsia
we say.
The fuchsia pink bus stops and the trash cans.
Yeah. It's,
matching.
It's if you didn't know it was a gay brand.
Yes.
It's the gayest trash can ever. You gotta love it.
Well, I'm just gonna walk us through.
Yeah.
This is sort of the edge of the village, the west edge of the village.
Okay.
And just sort of
we're near Jervis.
This is Jervis Street, Jervis and Davie.
Okay.
And you see the rainbow flags go on for a couple more poles. And then we'll just sort of walk across a little bit. You can see down the hill to English Bay.
Oh, right.
So you can see it's only three or four blocks. You can see the water down there, and give you a feel for where the community is. Right down there, you can see the water in the mountains.
Yes,
oh,
yeah.
So that's how close it is.
They're not good. He didn't want us to get hit.
Get hit, yes.
We're all good.
So yeah, so then I thought we'd walk back and we'd sort of give a little bit of a talk on certain aspects and places in the village as we go.
That's great.
Yeah, so coming up on our right up here is a place called Score, and it's a community sports bar, basically.
Oh, nice.
And has, you know, the
everybody
large
everybody has one now.
Yeah, exactly.
This is where you watch the hockey.
The hockey. Yeah, there's actually three or four in the village now. And I guess the closest thing to these places would be like Sidetrack in Chicago, where they have the large screens and the sports all happening. And
well, and definitely our Hamburger Mary's has now got a rec room, which has sports, and then we have Crew, which is one of our other sports.
Oh yes, I've
sporting bars. So
that's true. Yes, I've been in Crew.
Score
as well.
On Davy.
Score on Davy. It's a sports bar. It's been here for a long time. It started out as a place called Sugar Daddy's.
Oh, nice.
And became.
We're definitely seeing all the Miller Lite chill. The Miller chill.
Yeah, exactly.
Big umbrellas and people being able to sit out,
yeah,
and
patios
definitely
are big.
Cruise on the street.
Absolutely.
Because I would imagine this is the place to see and be seen walking down around.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. And Davie Village is located in the center of what's called the West End, and that's where a large percent of our gay population lives.
Yeah.
It's a big residential area and one of the highest density urban destinations in North America.
We're taking a photo.
Okay.
Might as well.
Oh,
okay.
Now, one thing I'm noticing is that community policing, we have policing right here in the center of Davie
Village. Yes.
How is what we would term hate crime and any kind of bullying, or, you know, how safe is it in this area?
It's safe, but we do have our problems like any major city. You get, and most of the trouble that does happen is from people coming in from the suburbs, coming in, and you get some young guys having a few too many coming in, let's go down and bother the gay people or whatever.
Yeah.
It does happen.
But
and
the police are right here, right?
They're
in
right
the
here. You'll even see a rainbow flag on their window.
Uh-huh.
So they're right in the middle of the community.
And I think that makes a bold statement of like,
well,
this is a safe neighborhood.
We've had our first transgendered police person as well in this neighborhood as well. So,
wow.
You know, it's been very progressive.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And but with the hate crime things, we've had a couple of instances in the last couple of years, and the community rallied together. We had huge marches down the street with flags, with everybody, gay, straight, everybody in the neighborhood saying we're not accepting this.
Yeah.
So it sort of stopped.
Yeah, good. That's what it
now,
should.
Now, we're going into here to Little Sisters, and this is, like I said earlier, is the oldest gay bookstore in Canada.
Okay.
And they've been here since 1983.
Okay.
And
it caters to men and to women.
Men and to women, and they have, I think, the largest collection of gay literature in Canada, if not in North America.
Wow.
And so
you were saying that they had a really difficult time in dealing with bringing literature in.
Censorship, and with the Canadian Border Services Agency.
Yeah.
And
that's been cleared up now. Now we.
I think there's still some ongoing challenges.
Yeah.
But we're going to meet Janine Fuller when we go inside. Perhaps she can let you a little bit.
That would be great. Let's go in.
This is the area here where a lot of the community magazines are available.
Great.
So there's Outlooks, there's My Magazine, there's...
Which one's your magazine? Tell us again.
The one that you have here, the Gay Friendly Vancouver publication.
Gay Friendly Vancouver. Pick it up when you come to Gay Friendly Vancouver.
Exactly. And there's Extra West, which is our bi-weekly magazine. And then Outlooks is a monthly national publication.
Great.
And various others. So it's a good sort of community spot. There are... bulletin boards with, you know, apartments to rent, jobs to rent,
studies,
and greets, and
locker room men in leather. Come on, I mean, who doesn't want to know about that?
Exactly.
That's happening
it's
on September 10th. We will be in Victoria. How sad for us, Kelly. We will be there tomorrow night. But somebody will be having a lot of dungeon fun.
Absolutely,
is what I'm seeing on the 10th and the 11th of September. So there's stuff going on here all the time. Also, housing notices if you're thinking of moving to Vancouver for a while or you want to come live here for a bit.
Sublet? Do a apartment swap or things like that.
That would be a great idea.
So let's go into Little Sisters and see if there's anybody here that we can meet.
That would be great.
There's Janine now.
Excellent. Oh, look at this. We have underwear and books.
Everything.
The two things you should have.
Yes.
Underwear and books in life. And lube.
And lube, I was going to say. Don't forget the lube.
Underwear and books and lube. Well, we're going to explore around a little bit, and then hopefully we can talk with the owner here in just a few minutes. But wow, what an interesting and nice tour.
Great.
We're going to break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back with Angus taking us through Davie Village. Glitter and be gay at Goodman Theater for a special one-night-only event this week. It's a fabulous evening of cocktails, culture, and cuisine, co-sponsored by Windy City Times. The event begins with an elegant reception at 6 p.m. where music director Doug Peck and his cast members from Candide perform tunes from Bernstein's greatest Broadway hits, and then experience the most anticipated musical of the year, Candide, directed by Tony Award winner Mary Zimmerman. Tickets to the reception and play are only $75. For more, visit the GoodmanTheater.org events page.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 20th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Lifeline Theater opens its 28th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with a world premiere adaptation of Emily Bronte's haunting classic Wuthering Heights. Running Thursday through Sunday through October 31st, more at lifelinetheater.com.
Court Theater kicks off its season with William Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors. Directed and adapted by Sean Graney, tickets are available now by visiting courttheater.org. Don't miss this exciting and innovative production of The Comedy of Errors.
Don't miss the critically acclaimed music and dance spectacular, The Merchant of Bollywood, coming to the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. During its recent sold-out run in London, The Times wrote, "Their energy is electrifying. It's high-octane pleasure." For tickets to The Merchants of Bollywood, visit Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss this captivating performing arts experience. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite girl, Amy.
So I'm at the Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium here on Davie Street in Vancouver, and I'm meeting, I believe, an institution here with Janine Fuller, who is the owner. And from what I hear, it's been a lot of just persistent dedication to keep this store open, keep it stocked in a way that really serves the GLBT community here in Vancouver. So first of all, just kudos
for being
such a pioneer. Tell me kind of, what the goal and the feel of this of this store is for somebody coming.
No, the bookstore started in 1983, and at that time there really were no gay bookstores, so that was really the motivation of the owners. They got together and they mm-hmm. went, there's nothing around, and we need to provide something where people can come in, feel like they're really comfortable, they're really yeah. part of an environment that's really friendly and yeah. really inviting. So then it was upstairs, second floor, squeaky floor, and really small, and in fact they lived actually in the same room that the store was. They just showered down at the bathhouses.
Yeah.
at that time. So,
right.
You know, that was sort of the early beginnings, and at that time the bookstore had no problem with Canada Customs, but probably the thing that most Americans know the most, and especially coming from Chicago, because the bookstore lobbied in Chicago for so many years at the American Booksellers Convention over and over and over
mm-hmm.
again, trying to just raise the issues of American authors who were being banned coming into this country.
Yeah.
So many of the sort of mainstream authors like Madonna, sex, that kind of book would always come to Canada without any difficulty, but anything that was done by a queer author who didn't have the same kind of huge mega machine behind them
right.
would find themselves banned and prohibited.
Wow.
So there's a long history of prohibited, especially American
yeah.
writers coming into this country. So we started that court case. Actually, the first court case was the Advocate magazine,
mm-hmm.
and that magazine was seized, and that was in 1986. And 2 years later, it finally went to court, but the government decided that, in fact, they should allow the magazine. Well, they weren't allowed, they couldn't give the magazine back because they had incinerated every single copy
wow.
of the magazine.
Wow.
So I think that was just such a driving force for mm-hmm. the owners of the store to realize that they were going to have to really tackle Canada Customs head on and the government. So in 1990, the bookstore started what became their historic trial against
yeah.
Canada Customs and took customs to court over the seizure and the systemic discrimination that was taking place
yeah.
in our communities.
You know what's just amazing is you see then how quickly, how fast so many other things that were positive for the GLBT community because of those kind of that kind of push-pull happened. I mean, you're a country that has same-sex marriage. We
it's
don't have that.
Irony.
So, you know, it's crazy. It's like you think about South Africa had apartheid and now they have same-sex marriage. You know, it's
yeah.
like sometimes those big battles when
yeah.
you see that a community can rally around and win, it you know, somehow levels the playing field
you
and
know,
some other things can get passed through.
Ironically, Americans have been the most incredible supporters of this court case in many ways because
mm-hmm.
free speech is something Americans are just so that they were brought up with it
yeah,
in such
passionate
a passionate
mm-hmm.
sense. So in many ways Canadians are really have a lot to learn from Americans.
Well, I'm sure it goes back and forth across
other,
the border.
Yeah.
So we should say that there are definitely videos to rent here. There are books of every genre for men, for women,
yeah.
Fiction, nonfiction, mystery. I'm seeing there are obviously greeting cards. I'm seeing a really enormous line of underwear. That's extremely fun for the guys and the girls, I would say. And then I'm also seeing that there's lube and sex toys. And so this has really become quite an
yeah.
emporium
yeah.
For the community, a center place for the community.
You know, it always has been, and it's always been a place where people come together and celebrate who and what we are.
Yeah.
So the store is always evolved into what the community is. And
yeah.
all of. So it's always changing
yeah.
and always changing with what people need and what people want. So it really reflects that. And most of all, the reflection of complete joy in who and what we are as queer
yeah.
people.
Yeah. Now, talk to me. We were just talking on the street, Angus and I were, just about the aging of the GLBT community in Vancouver and how Vancouver is kind of addressing that. And you're a part of a conference that's going on here right now
yes.
called the Bold Conference.
It
what
is
that
well,
conference?
Well, it's a conference for older lesbians,
mm-hmm.
and but everyone's welcome.
Okay.
And I think this is maybe the fifth conference that's taken place. It's at the Coast Plaza Hotel, and it's people from all across Canada, North America, and actually even internationally.
Mm-hmm.
It's become really well known because it really addresses a lot of the issues around aging.
Mm-hmm.
It brings people together who are often fairly disenfranchised
right.
within their communities.
Right.
And it really empowers older dykes to get together and
yeah.
enjoy a beer. I'll
yeah.
be drinking a beer myself or a glass of wine. I guess that would be more you. I think that's really great. It has like a dating thing. It has like a bunch of different people doing workshops. So really has some amazing people who are actually participating. So,
well, that's fantastic. So that's something for next year to Google and research about the Bold Conference, if that's something that you would like to come. It's a good excuse to come to Vancouver in the upcoming year. And Janine, I just want to thank you for welcoming us and letting us have a little moment to enjoy Little Sisters. Now I may have to look around a little bit more.
We won't tell anyone what you bought.
What happens in Vancouver stays in Vancouver.
Yes. Thank you.
So Angus, just tell me a little bit about gayvan.com and kind of how that company and that site can help serve a person who's trying to come to Vancouver and have a really positive and exploring, might we say, GLBT experience.
Well, what we did originally, as I told you earlier, my partner and I were partners in a gay hotel and bar here in the late 90s and the first part of this decade. And we got rid of that after 9/11, and we kept our marketing side of that business and turned it into this company. So we'd already been out in the world marketing Vancouver for our hotel and stuff, and went to all the gay events and the trade shows and all that sort of thing. And we kept that part of the business and turned it into this marketing company. And what we do is we still go to the trade shows, and we work with Tourism Vancouver, obviously. And we produce print publications. We have a website and also places for people that want to reach the gay market. We provide consulting services, etc.
So you're similar to what we do at Windy City Media
yes.
terms of your website has great resources of shopping and bars and events and all of that, those kind of connections people might need when they're coming to the city.
Exactly. And with ours, perhaps it's a little more of a travel focus then, but we still do, very much the same idea.
Absolutely. So what do you see being the most popular time of year for the GLBT community to come and be tourists in Vancouver? Is it only just around Pride or?
Well, Pride is a popular time, but it's also a year-round event now, and that's part of what we were sort of very much involved in, was getting the word out about Vancouver being a gay-friendly destination, that you can come here any time of year, and also promoting, outdoor adventure and the sea mountain aspect. The great
Whistler is definitely
Whistler.
The big
ski week in February up there. Things that people want to... They want to shop, and we've got fantastic dining here, some of the best dining in the world in Vancouver with our ethnic mix.
Definitely started experiencing that,
and that will continue
through the whole trip.
Exactly. So, we're doing that. We're getting the word out and trying to, encourage people to come here at any time of year.
Yeah.
And working with our regional partners as well, places like Seattle and Victoria and Whistler, and getting them to realize that, we're in our each other's backyard as well.
Right.
And going to cities like Chicago, which is only a 3.5-hour flight.
Yeah, it's very, very,
people
very
don't
comparable
realize.
And quick.
We were recently in San Diego, and it was like a 2-hour and 20-minute flight.
Yeah.
And people don't realize it's so close.
Right.
And so that's what we're trying to do. The reason for being out there marketing is to get that concept around that we can go even for just the weekend if we want to.
What did you find with having the Olympics here this past winter? How did that impact the GLBT community, and how was how were you a real resource here in the Davie Village area and with the work that you do for that?
Well, the Olympics was an exciting time for the gay community as well, and it was the first time there was ever a Pride House at an Olympic event, and that happened in Vancouver and in Whistler this year. And the Pride House location was just down the street here on the corner. And that was it's called Community, which is our center, community mm-hmm. center. And gaywhistler.com and Whistler that worked together and putting the Pride House together in Whistler and the one here in Vancouver. And where we came in, I was contacted by the field producer, by Stephen Colbert, for example,
mm-hmm.
because we're out there in the world, and she wanted to know if we could set up some interviews for them while they came to Vancouver with the gay community during the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And so Stephen Colbert came up, and he did part of his show up at the community center here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so things like that. So that's where we came in. We're out there, and people connect with us and say, can you put us in touch with this person or this business and that sort of thing.
Did you find a lot of out GLBT people came to the Olympics and wanted to really be a part of?
There were a lot of people here, but I don't think that was, to be honest, was the main thing on their mind. They were more here for the Olympic experience.
Right.
And yet, the village was packed. I mean, you couldn't, there was lineups every night of the week for everything. So,
well, when it is going to be, I think, the merger of both the Olympics kind of spirit and the event spirit, sports spirit, and then also the GLBT, is that you guys are about to host the big Out Games.
We're going to be hosting the 2011 Summer North American Out Games in Vancouver next end of July and early August.
Right. That's going to be exciting because we just hosted, you know, the Gay Games.
We were a host city for the Gay Games in 1990.
Oh, wow.
We were the first city outside of San Francisco to ever host the Gay Games. And so that was a very exciting time to be here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is sort of 15 years later.
Yeah.
It's 20 years later.
It is.
Oh, my Lord.
Isn't that crazy?
Well,
you know, that's what when my co-host at the time of the podcast, you know, he had a goal that weekend to, you know, date or sleep. I think it was more sleep with many of the nations around the world during that weekend. And so I just know that that's where the city comes together, so
Absolutely.
To speak.
Absolutely.
Vancouver. That will be 2011, the summer of 2011. So yeah. That will be an exciting time. Well, we're going to just continue strolling around Davy Village.
We have
you can
a date
see.
With Marilyn Monroe.
We have a date with Marilyn Monroe, a.k.a. Carlotta Girl.
Yes.
So very excited about that. And I have a little drink with her before we have dinner tonight. So,
fantastic.
Lovely. What a day. So let me tell you, I know this is where you will want to stop when you need a little libation, as a Southern girl do need, at 1181, which is a fantastic little slip of a bar, a long slip of a bar, where they're showing a projected film on the wall, and it is Mommy Dearest, so I feel so at home. But I even feel more at home because Carlotta Girl, who I also got to meet during Market Days, is here with
me. Hi, sweetness. How are you?
I'm so good. I love this. It's so great. It's like I meet all these fabulous people in August, and by September, I'm here on your home turf.
Isn't it fantastic? You had to follow me out here, didn't you?
I did. I had to. You look fantastic.
Why, thank you, as do you, my dear.
Just so gorgeous.
I'm wearing a tad more makeup than you are, though.
Oh, well. Mine's all, like, kind of run off, you know.
God. Mine is 10 pounds of paint put out with a spatula, but still.
So tell me about the drag scene here in Vancouver. Is it a vibrant scene?
It's a very vibrant, very diverse scene as well. We have a lot of different people who perform around town. Uh-huh. We have a lot of drag queens and drag kings.
Okay.
A lot of transgender people who come out as well, dressed up. There's not as many stages as I think there should be for us to showcase our talent, but when we come out in full force and with a lot of style.
Now, I want to ask you, because I know that you are the mayoress of Davy Village. Something like that. and I'm just curious, if people are walking up and down Davy Village, if I said, where do the frat boys hang out? Where would that be? Or if I said,
God,
where
I think the frat boys hang out here at 1181 Davy. We have one here right now.
Our server.
Yeah, it's a really great place to hang out. And
where is the most mixed club that you would think that maybe more, it could be bisexual friendly, but it's definitely gay, or the
straight
people?
Well, definitely a gay club that has a very mixed vibe. A lot of nights is celebrities. And it's a fantastic place to go because everyone's welcome there, and they do have some shows there as well, and they have a fantastic stage and great lighting, incredible DJ, really good house music, and they have different nights of the week where they do different theme nights and things. So they make a lot of people feel really, really welcome on different nights. I've had the luxury and the privilege of performing there myself on occasion.
Yes.
I hope so will again in the future.
Yes.
Even after this interview. No.
Even more so after this interview. And is there a leather bar that's a particular?
Well, one of my favorite leather bars, I think it's a great place. It's kind of like a pub / leather bar. It's the Pump Check, which is right next door to here. It's a fantastic place to hang out.
Yeah.
You can go in there and have a lot of fun. A lot of people in the community feel comfortable going there because it's very down to earth, very real. A lot of really hot, rugged men go there, and some really great ladies who go there. You know, it's a really cool place to hang out. Yeah. I'm not sure if I hang out there too much dressed up like this.
Yes.
But in my alter ego as, you know, Macaulay Culkin, I feel very comfortable. No.
So we passed by the Score, which is
is great too. Yes.
More of a sports bar.
More of a sports bar, and they have a great menu as well. Lots of really good-looking waiters who work there as well.
And then there's a bar that's on a rooftop that I noticed that that...
J-Lounge, yes. That's a nice, quite funky
J-Lounge.
Place. J-Lounge. Yeah, J-Lounge. It used to be called the Jupiter, so they just took Jupiter out and went with J-Lounge.
Yeah, and what's
that's
the vibe
nice
there?
That's quite a nice little place. Yeah, really cool. I've done a few shows there as well.
Yeah.
They have different nights going on there as well. I haven't frequented as much as I should have, but when I've been in there, I've always had a good time.
Now, is there a place that is really the place to dance? If people were coming here and they want to...
Well, there was.
Oh, this is the bar, Odyssey. The Odyssey.
One of our major bars, the Odyssey, just closed down right now because the venue was bought out by the city. I know the owners are actively looking for a new venue. They may even have found one, but we don't know yet when it will be reopening. But we're all hoping it'll be soon.
Yes.
And someplace absolutely fabulous. But that was an absolutely incredible venue.
Yeah.
And I had the luxury of doing a show there every week.
Oh, wow.
I had my own weekly show, actually. Yeah. The lip sync show starring Carlotta Girl. And guests in the community. But we just had our closing show there last Sunday, which was the very last night as well. Yeah. And it was absolutely packed, phenomenal, great energy. You know,
and the end of an era,
the end of an era, definitely.
But from that, we'll spawn something new, I think.
From the ashes, the phoenix will rise and reassert herself across the city again. I do believe that. It came across as a really good vibe that it was going to definitely go somewhere else.
Yes.
That energy, that feeling could never die.
Yeah.
It was just a venue that was closing, not the Odyssey, the concept, not the place itself. So we're holding on to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, Pride here in Vancouver is when? It's not, you don't compete with our...
Usually it's the first weekend in August.
Yeah, so yours is much later. So just for you Chicagoans, or if you're listening from New York, or even San Francisco, you know, Pride happens much earlier. And so...
I take it ours as just before your market days.
Right.
So which I had the privilege of being at.
And how did you enjoy market days?
Absolutely fantastic time. I had no idea the scope of how large this fantastic day, these 2 days would be. Yeah.
Huge, right?
I just felt very like, oh my God. I thought we were like, you know, kind of a fun event. People set up booths and stuff. We all come around. I had no idea all these thousands of people would be coming in. And
so you're coming next year.
Oh God, then, I'm coming every year, sweetie.
And then we're coming up. Well, you might be coming in about 35 minutes.
Oh, I'm coming right now, sweetie. I'm so excited. My God.
But definitely, I guess what I'm saying is people can definitely enjoy our Pride in Chicago or one of the other major cities in the state.
Yes.
Come up here for Gay Pride in Vancouver and then come back down because you're going to be at Market Days again this year.
Well,
correct?
I think I will be, my dear. I'm hoping for that. Yeah.
So thank you for having a little clink and drink and a little chat.
I love that. And definitely come to Vancouver anytime. Definitely come for our Pride. I'm featured very, very widely all over Pride. I'm here and there and everywhere.
I see. You're the mayoress.
Oh, well.
Angus is the mayor.
I'm not sure if the mayoress.
Of Davie Village. And do, if you come to Vancouver, look for Carlotta Girl and
Carlotta
see where she will be performing. And do not miss it because she is a joy. Her Lady Gaga was out of control, running out the Witt Hotel second floor bar onto the street and back out. So fantastic. So we're going to clink a glass.
Clink a glass. And right now I'm dressed as Marilyn, so I want to say I love you all. Please come to Vancouver. Ooh.
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 Cheers.
Ooh,
cheers.
Cheers.
Glitter and be gay at Goodman Theater for a special one-night-only event this week. It's a fabulous evening of cocktails, culture, and cuisine, co-sponsored by Windy City Times. The event begins with an elegant reception at 6 p.m. where music director Doug Peck and his cast members from Candide perform tunes from Bernstein's greatest Broadway hits, and then experience the most anticipated musical of the year, Candide, directed by Tony Award winner Mary Zimmerman. Tickets to the reception and play are only $75. For more, visit the GoodmanTheater.org events page.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Dye Jr., and this is your Night at the Movies Minute. I'd hoped that this new edition of Dorian Gray, with a raft of English actors, Ben Barnes of Easy Virtue in the title role, single men's Colin Firth as Dorian's morally decayed benefactor, Ben Chaplin as the painter who captures Dorian's beauty and unwittingly sets the curse in motion, etc., etc., would get a stateside release, but such was not the case. After the viewing the film on DVD, helmed by Oliver Parker in this new version, I'm even more disappointed as the movie's visually gorgeous with a Tim Burton-esque, inky, black Victorian English color palette. Boy, that's a long phrase. The all-too-familiar story of Dorian, a young innocent morally corrupted by Henry, his acidic benefactor who urges him to indulge his increasingly sadistic pleasures, leaving nary a mark on his pristine outer beauty while his portrait shows the inner monstrous decay, is given much more visual bite than the classic 1945 MGM edition. Though Parker makes sure Dorian's sexual indulgences are made explicit, there is no doubt in this version that Dorian likes men, rough trade, and has a taste for S&M. The movie never quite catches fire. That has more to do with the okay but not great performances rather than the lavishly dressed and costumed film. Nevertheless, modern audiences may find more to love in this new Dorian Gray than the classic version. I, of course, recommend a double feature screening with both editions. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that was your Night at the Movies Minute.
So, Angus, I just want to say thank you. You've been a great ambassador and mayor to Davie Village.
Oh, thank you so much. It's
and thank you for setting up Carlotta Girl to be a nice little interview so we could sit down and talk with her and have a fantastic cocktail. It's what you want to do at the end of the day, have a happy hour moment. So if you come to Vancouver, I definitely encourage people to spend maybe an afternoon and some cocktails and go right on into the evening here in Davie Village.
It's a great starting point. It's home central.
Yep.
Come here, get your bearings,
yep.
Pick up some information, get your books, your guides, talk to some of the bartenders, meet some of the locals, and it's a great starting point for your visit to Vancouver.
It really is. And everybody, check out gayvan.com if you want to get information about the GLBT scene
here in Chicago.
And Angus, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Amy. And we'll see you in Chicago next year for Market Days.
We'll see you in Chicago next year, and we'll be back to Vancouver as well.
Fantastic. Look forward to it.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite, and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Elections took place in several states on September 14th. 29 of the out GLBT 33 candidates advanced in primaries or won their elections outright.
In Indiana, 15-year-old Greensburg High School student Billy Lucas committed suicide, and friends are saying that bullying may have pushed him to the breaking point. The Trevor Project, a national organization focused on crisis intervention and suicide prevention efforts among LGBTQ youth, points toward Lucas's sexual orientation, whether real or perceived, as the reason for the bullying.
In California, a court has granted sole legal and physical custody to a lesbian mother whose parental rights were challenged by the sperm donor father. In the case of Daniel C. versus Karen B., the parties, who met through an internet ad, had signed a pact in which they agreed that the sperm donor could visit the child occasionally, but that the child would always live with the mother. They also had agreed that the mother's partner could adopt the child.
New York Governor David Paterson has signed the Dignity for All Students Act, which includes criteria for public schools to initiate anti-harassment training programs. He signed the measure at New York City's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Community Center.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has confirmed that the Senate intends to bring the National Defense Authorization Act to the Senate floor next week. The act contains the amendment to allow for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
The 2009 National School Climate Survey, a poll of 7,000 middle and high school students, shows that 9 out of 10 LGBT students experienced harassment at school within the past year, and nearly two-thirds felt unsafe because of their sexual orientation. The survey also found that gay-straight alliances indeed have positive results, with LGBT students experiencing less anti-gay behavior.
Out lesbian U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin has introduced the Health Data Collection Improvement Act. This act would allow people to collect voluntary data on gender identity and sexual orientation in surveys and programs approved by the Department of Health and Human Services, and would hopefully take critical steps towards improving the health of LGBT Americans and their families.
A battery charge against Marine Sergeant Kyle Kronauer, 22, who allegedly attacked a gay man in Savannah, Georgia, has been dropped. Judge Claire Cornwell Williams could not find a compelling reason to send the charge to state court. Kronauer and Lance Corporal Christopher C. Stanzel, 23, were accused of attacking Kieran Daly, 26, this past June. Stanzel, unlike Kronauer, will face the state court on his battery charge.
The gay Republican group Go Proud has endorsed Barney Frank's challenger in the fight for the 4th congressional district seat in Massachusetts. Frank is one of only three openly gay members in the U.S. Congress.
An aide who once worked for Delaware Republican Senate candidate and Tea Party darling Christine O'Donnell said that he's surprised by her homophobia because her sister is a lesbian. Wade Richards, who came out in 2000 but worked with O'Donnell when she led the Anti-Gay Saviors Alliance for Lifting the Truth organization in California. Richards is not only surprised by O'Donnell's anti-gay feelings, but said that meeting the sister helped him regarding his own sexuality.
Florida Governor Charlie Crist, who once was a Republican but who is running for a U.S. Senate seat as an independent, has changed his views on gay rights. Crist has now affirmed his support for civil unions, same-sex adoption, and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Equality Florida has called Crist's stances the most comprehensive pro-LGBT equality stand of a sitting governor in Florida's history.
In Wyoming, the couple who had filed the first lawsuit involving the state's marriage law has now dropped the legal challenge. Gay rights advocates were allegedly concerned about the suit's arguments, as well as the couple's past lawsuits and criminal activities.
In Puerto Rico, two transgender women were found murdered on September 13th. They had both been shot in the head. Since 2002, more than 25 gay or transgender people have been murdered on the island.
In world news, in England, gay basketball star John Amici has claimed that a Manchester gay bar discriminated against him on the basis of race. Amici, who once played in the NBA, said that the doorman at Crunch told him he was too big, too black, and trouble to go in with his friends. The bar had claimed that Amici's group of friends had been tagged by a joint radio system as being argumentative. However, the group had only visited two other bars that night, and at least one of them is not on said system.
Saudi gay diplomat Ali Ahmad Asari is seeking asylum in the United States because he fears being killed in broad daylight if he has to return to Saudi Arabia. Saudi officials fired Asari from his position after discovering his sexual orientation and his friendship with a Jewish Israeli woman. Asari added that he has received death threats.
In Russia, police detained gay rights activist Nikolai Alexeyev shortly before he was scheduled to fly to Geneva, Switzerland on September 15th. Alexeyev said authorities were trying to cancel a rally and lawsuits related to past rallies, and then said that he had been transported to Minsk, several hundred miles away from Moscow.
The European Court of Human Rights will hear the case of a French lesbian couple that were denied the chance to adopt a child. 4 years ago, Valerie Gass attempted to adopt the daughter of longtime partner Nathalie Dubois, but French courts turned down the request, claiming that the adoption was not in the child's best interest. 2 years ago, they allowed another lesbian couple to adopt a child.
In Nepal, authorities arrested 70 LGBT individuals, including prominent gay rights activist Sunil Babu Panta, during a sit-in protest. The group was arrested when members entered the restricted area around Nepal's main administrative building, Singha Durbar. Panta said that the group was seeking citizenship rights, adding that more than 200,000 LGBT Nepalese have been prevented from seeking citizenship.
In England, the Party Drugs Clinic at the South London and Maudsley NHS Foundation Trust apparently has young gay men as the majority of its clients. The clinic is the first in the UK to offer a treatment program for people addicted to GBL. It also treats addictions to speed and methadone.
In entertainment news, former Chicago Bear Dan Hampton has apologized on the show Pro Football Weekly for an anti-gay statement he made during the September 5th broadcast. Hampton said, "The Cowboys think they are Clint Eastwood. They're more of the Brokeback variety, if you know what I'm talking about. In apologizing, Hampton said, "Last week I made a couple of comments about Katrina and the gay community that not only embarrassed myself, but the fine people here at Pro Football Weekly. I'm an idiot, and I am truly sorry if those comments offended any of our great and wonderful viewers." Hampton had also said, "The Vikings need to go down there and hit that town like Katrina."
Tectonic Theater Project will launch a multi-city tour of the Laramie Project and the Laramie Project Epilogue 10 years later this fall, with many original cast members. Performance locations include Boston, Philadelphia, University Park, Pennsylvania, Cedar Falls, Iowa, San Francisco, and Whitewater, Wisconsin. Performances will include an educational component of workshops and post-performance discussions with audiences.
Ryan Buell, who stars in the A&E docuseries Paranormal State, has come out as bisexual. He revealed his sexuality in his book, Paranormal State, My Journey into the Unknown.
Lionsgate, the movie studio that put out the Academy Award-winning movie Precious, has acquired the North American rights to Rabbit Hole, helmed by openly gay John Cameron Mitchell. The movie, starring Nicole Kidman, Aaron Eckhart, and Diane Wiest, was a hit in Toronto at their film festival. Rabbit Hole, based on the stage play of the same name, is about two parents grieving over losing their very young son.
And Jim Parsons, who recently won an Emmy for his role as ultra-nerd Sheldon on TV's The Big Bang Theory, has come out and is set to wed his partner, art director Todd Spiewak. The ceremony will supposedly take place during the holiday season in Massachusetts. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
So we are back in our hotel after what a fun day.
I mean, huge day.
First of all, we're having beautiful weather. We should just say that it is like 68 and sunny and
temperate, no rain, nothing
beautiful
that we anticipated. So we're very lucky. We're very lucky on that end.
And we have had such a day and such a night. After we left Davie Village, we headed
in
up.
In Maryland,
and Miss Carlotta girl, we headed to meet kind of our hostess for this trip from Tourism Vancouver, Amber Sessions, mm-hmm. who is just lovely, and said, "I want to take you to this place called Shambar." And I'd heard about this from my friend Shannon as mm-hmm. well, who had said, "You should go eat at this place." And I said, "Hey, we're already going with Amber." It's right in what they call Crosstown now.
Well, we learned that they named it. The owners of Shambar owned it because it was kind of between two different places.
Yeah, two different neighborhoods.
Neighborhoods, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
In the Couve. And it's interesting because its influences are Belgian and also North African, mm-hmm. which I think is really a fascinating blend. I have to say I haven't eaten a lot of African cuisine, and I don't even know if I've eaten a lot of Belgian cuisine. What I can say is I've been missing out. This was one of the most amazing meals, really, this is one that goes down the books in my lifetime, mm-hmm. like a really special, wonderful meal. What was your high points? And tell people what we had to eat, because it's insane.
Well, we started, they made us, the place is beautifully decorated, low lighting, but really beautiful. Beautiful chandeliers, beautiful decor. They clearly took a lot of time with this place.
Yeah, it's comfortable and kind of sexy, but at the same time,
classy, high-end, elegant.
But you don't feel like there were so many diverse people there, and even though it was packed.
It was packed, and it kept turning and turning and turning all night as we sat there. So they do amazing business.
But you feel like you don't feel like you hear anybody's other conversation next to you.
It got a little loud at the end.
At the end?
To me, it got a little loud at the end. Yeah. But other than that, I didn't even notice it.
I felt like
I
it
have
was
a
buzzing.
Sense of her.
You have a sense of her.
So we just were, the sommelier came over immediately.
Robert.
And
brilliant.
Was incredibly kind, really witty, really made us feel at home and very special. And everyone, the waiter was wonderful. Everyone that worked there was on point and charming and funny and really at the top of their game. So we started off with ostrich, which I'd never had.
Ostrich.
Never had ostrich.
And you liked it.
I liked it. I loved the accoutrement. I don't know that I loved the actual meat.
See, I loved it, but you're not a meat eater.
I'm not a meat eater.
I was impressed with you that you even tried it. I mean, it's not like you're vegetarian, but you're not a heavy meat eater.
At all.
I am a carnivore.
I was vegetarian for 18 years, so the meat is still hard for me.
Yeah, but I love meat, and it was the most amazing ostrich appetizer. It was delicious, and I do have to say that they have a lot of Belgian beers there, and we did start off the night where I had a cocktail. That was, they have award-winning cocktails at this bar, restaurant, and their bar is also hopping in the front. And they made me a gin-infused martini that was infused with, like, date.
Figs.
Fig.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Let's get it right. Figs. let's not
see, I've had a couple of martinis talking tonight. I started off with with a fig infused.
It's a specialty of theirs. They didn't make it exclusively for you. It's a specialty
of
theirs.
Well, I like to think that they did.
I know you
but
do,
they
honey.
Brought me, it was everything I love. Gin and a little side of blue cheese. Like, they put crumbled blue cheese on the side of my plate that my martini came on, and it was like dessert before the meal started. So I just have to say thank you, Robert. That was a great suggestion. And if you do go there, they have an amazing array of cocktails. Then we had the ostrich.
Then we had the ostrich. They sent us a little, I can't remember exactly what came with the crab, but they sent us a little starter.
Amuse-bouche.
A little amuse-bouche.
And you
that was
had?
Really wonderful. I had the halibut.
Which was
gorgeous. Extraordinary.
Amber let us stick a fork in her food, which we had just
She had like
her.
A Moroccan type lamb of lamb.
Oh, lamb shank.
Lamb
with
shank
where it fell off
couscous
the bone.
And cinnamon and cloves and all those. I mean, it was so. And I, again, am not a meat eater.
Yep.
And I loved that dish. Like,
you
I could
did.
Have eaten that whole dish.
Yeah.
It came in a terracotta. It was a huge bowl with a huge lid
like a
on
tureen.
It.
It was
just gorgeous.
And then
The duck.
I had the duck, which was so delicious. I can't even stand it. It was really interesting because they're known for their moules frites, which are mussels and fries.
Mm-hmm.
And
three different types of mussels.
Right.
That are so gargantuan. They're like bigger than Amy and I's head put together. And I love mussels, but nobody else really wanted to share them.
Yeah.
So it was too big for me to get just on my own, and I didn't want that just for dinner, although people around us were having them just for dinner.
Yeah, and we did have we did have the frites part of the moules.
Oh,
frites.
We did have the frites.
The
we had
French
two
fries.
Frites.
We did have two frites.
I was so greedy with those damn frites, and I could have probably had a third frite for dessert.
Oh, Lordy mercy.
I was very selfish with the frites. I felt a little bad about it.
And they had the wonderful little sauce that was unique to them.
They had
the sauce, they
had a little dipping. Mm. Mm.
It was all so, so good. So let me just say,
We had desserts.
And then we had desserts. I'm so full from this night, and it's going to be a lovely lingering memory for me. And if I ever went back to Vancouver, it would be a must. I would definitely want to go there again. Hell, we may go tomorrow night. Nope, we're going to be in Victoria tomorrow night. But if we came back, we would definitely go back there.
Without question.
And if we took people, we would definitely go. So if you're
Without
heading...
question. And they have a connecting...
Yeah.
Which I just want to say. They have a brunch place and another sweet little place right next door, and I can't remember.
Cafe Medina is right next door, open for breakfast and lunch. So both of these restaurants have the same owner, and they are really, I think, revolutionizing this little part of town that they call Crosstown, right on the fringe of Yale Town. And if you're ever in Vancouver, go. I mean, look, they're not paying me for this plug, and I know Amber paid for the dinner. It's awesome. 562 Beatty Street in Crosstown in Vancouver. They've got a website. It's chambar.com, C-H-A-M-B-A-R, C-H-A-M-B-A-R.com. Mm-hmm. And listen, we gotta get to bed. We gotta get to bed.
We're stuffed. We're full. And we're completely sated.
And we're
in a wonderful way. And we thank Tourism Vancouver and Amber for this
night.
Suggestion. And
what a day!
Really wonderful company and wonderful conversation and amazing food.
Yeah, it feels a little today like this day feels like many, many days.
It feels like three
we
days in one day.
We packed a lot in. So
this was a huge day.
We're gonna get a lot of sleep, and then we're gonna head to Victoria.
Exhausted.
Tomorrow. So I guess I should just say that in our next show, you'll be hearing us in Victoria. And I hear it's amazing. I can't wait to be in Victoria.
We're going to take that little plane that takes off from the water, the seaplane.
I hope you don't get sick.
I hope not either. Or that would not be good.
Not good.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Bye.